This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What companies would you want to work for? Just Capital is a nonprofit that tracks which companies are a force for good. Companies like Bank of America, which just earned the prestigious Just Capital 2024 seal. Bank of America is ranked number one in the banking industry and number one for their ongoing commitment to workers, offering best-in-class benefits, including a minimum wage of $25 an hour by 2025. Visit JustCapital.com to learn how a just business is a better business.
Furnished by Just Capital.
You sit behind a desk as a news anchor. This would be kind of full body shots in the studio, lots of different angles. I said, yeah, I'm aware. And he said, es würde Leute geben, die würden sich fragen, was tut so im fetten Arsch im Fernsehen? Which
translate.
As he circled around me, he said, there would be people who would ask themselves, what is such a fat ass doing on television?
Wow.
And that was the end of my opportunity there because he basically quashed it. And I, you know, at the time, you always look back now and you think, man, like, as the woman I am now, I would handle that moment so very differently. Yeah, yeah. But at the time, I just felt kind of in shock that somebody could speak to me in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even just that, like as a female, just on a human level, it felt very insulting to me. I was probably thicker then than I am now, but I didn't know how to handle the moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast.
What up, what up, what up, what up? The Crack World, what's going on? You're on with your host, Mauricio Mookie Wilson, coming out of New York City. I'm so glad to be joined by my boy, Aguchi Onyewu. What's going on, Big Europe?
What's up, peoples? What up, people? What time is it there?
4 o'clock, baby, 4 p.m. Happy hour.
Must be nice.
What time is it in Europe, Gooch? Oh.
Well, you know, it's the nice brisk hour of 10 p.m.
Every show, he try to make us feel bad, you know?
Right? Sorry, and, Gooch, you know, for taking your evening away to talk to us.
And somebody okay. who's taking his vacation away and making time for us, let's give a big round of applause for Mr. DeMarcus Beasley, please.
What it do? What up, what up, what up?
Oh man, what country are you coming from, man? Is it Sweden?
Me?
Is it Ecuador? You?
This dude said Ecuador.
Ethiopia? Where are you, man?
Why you got called busy from Ethiopia?
Yo, hey, was you there at that time with the U-20s? When the dude thought I was from Ethiopia, the track
you look
team.
You look like one of them track runners. Look at you, still.
I'll never forget that story, yo. I think we was in Argentina. Were we in Argentina? In the mall?
That was for the yeah, I do remember that.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
Could we all hear about this story? That you guys are
talking about? Nah, I mean, nah, it ain't gonna be funny now that I tell the story. So, dude, just, no, long story short, dude thought I was an Ethiopian runner in the Olympics.
Cross country runner.
How's that not funny?
Yo, he was dead. Yo, he was dead ass serious too. He thought I was an Ethiopian track star.
I thought you was too the first time I saw you. So, you know, can't blame the man.
What up? What's good, Mook?
Fellas, how you feeling? Beautiful, beautiful show today. We have on, to me, the best broadcaster in the U.S. region in any sport. We have Kate Abdul, who's basically, you know, not only a phenomenal commentator, but she also has bossed Gooch around and basically burped Gooch in this whole
she birthed him,
you know what I mean? So we have a lot to talk about. Again, we wanted to bring you guys just a different flavor of people who are part of this soccer network and this ecosystem, Gooch.
I mean, if you want, that's your word, buddy.
And she plays a huge part in it. And if you don't know who she is, you'll definitely remember as soon as you see her on the Crack. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests, events, with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, NFL, NBA, La Liga, EPL, NHL hockey, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that's BLEAV, number 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. But fellas, I want to get a little conversation with you, man. You know, Arsenal's a great team, great club.
And, since when?
You know, obviously we had a lot of transfers this market. But this one transfer I want to talk to you guys about, since you guys are now former players and now executives, what do you feel about Ronaldo, who is in his upper years, the upper room, his upper years? And if you were executive, upper room, if you were executive at Manchester United, would you bring him back at this time in 2002-2003 season?
It's 2022-2023, by the way, just to let you know.
No, 2022-2023.
You said 2002.
Oh, that's why I have you here, B. Hold me there. I appreciate that.
Goose, let me hear it. What's up?
I mean, if I was an exec at Man United, he was the best performing player on that squad last year. One of the oldest. I don't know if he was the oldest or one of the oldest, but the rumors are he doesn't want to be there because they're not playing Champions League. If I'm Ronaldo, I don't fault him for that, because he still has the level for Champions League. He's still performing, still hitting those numbers. He might not, you know, be defending as much as he used to be, but this man is still a threat. He's still dangerous, and he can still perform on that highest level. So I feel him. And the last thing I heard was that they're willing to loan him to a team for Champions League this year, but he said he wants to go. So I don't know. If I was Man U, I'd try to keep him. But not if it's going to cause a cancer within the group, which I hope he doesn't become one, but we'll see.
I mean, look, I feel that the reason why, and he's still, oh, I'll say this, he scored a lot of goals. He was a main goal scorer last year, obviously, but he didn't fit into Ralph's system. That high press, I don't remember his last name, Ravnik or whatever. He didn't fit in that pressing Red Bull type system, you know what I'm saying? Because he's not going to be running around chasing center backs and trying to, you know, that first reaction when you lose a ball, you got to try to get it back. You know, that's not him. So does he fit in Ten Hag's system? It seems so, because Ten Hag has came out and said that he wants him to play stay at Manchester United. So I get Ronaldo's, just like Goose said, I get Ronaldo's ambitions, still want to play in a Champions League. And I think if he fits in the way that Ten Hag wants to play, then you keep him. I think if he would have stayed if Ralph Rangnick would have stayed at Man United and that with that type of coach, then they would have to let him go because he did not fit his system. I think it's more of a system thing more so than for me. So if he fits in Ten Hag's system, yeah. Well, why not? Why would you not want to go?
I think the systems don't matter. I think that at the end of the day, his brand, and like Gooch said, the level of play he still has, that he wants to finish off his career playing Champions League. And I think that any competitor, especially on the level of Ronaldo, has to kick and scream. And I would sit out if they wouldn't let me go.
How the hell are you going to sit out at 37 years old? We need to sit out.
I would force my way out of there.
Yeah, I mean,
Is that critical? And I'm not saying obviously Ronaldo will go somewhere, but you would really risk a couple of your last years of playing just to pout and say, "Oh yeah, I don't want to go."
No, but I wouldn't risk my last years of playing and playing Europa Conference champion conference.
Yeah, but you're doing more than risking that. You're doing more than risking playing Europa. You're like, one, you're tainting your legacy by being foolish at a club that you owe a lot to.
They don't have to sell you.
They have no obligation to adhere to anything he wants to do.
But we all know that he's on a very nice salary, right?
You think
Manchester United wouldn't budge if he said, "Listen, I'm not playing"? They would say, okay, we're not. Look
what Tottenham did with Harry Kane. This man was, he announced, "This is my last, I'm not coming back, I'm not doing this, I'm not, how many goals has he scored in preseason now?" You know what I'm saying? They're like, "No, we're not letting you go. It is what it is." And so at the end of the day, this ain't the MLS where it's like, okay, you're traded tomorrow, you have no say. You know?
why would you want him back though, to be honest with you, right? I mean, great player, right?
You just said you're building something,
right? Aren't you building something? It's fresh.
Wait. Now I'm confused. Yeah. So you just said that you would want to stay in Manchester United if you're Ronaldo. Now you're saying you don't.
I'm saying Manchester United. Why would you want to keep him?
Oh, so now you're
confused. About that word? Yeah. Keep. How do you say that in Spanish?
I didn't know.
How do you say that in Spanish? So I'm confused. Why do you want to keep him? You have a new coach, right? Who has a new voice. You have talent there. You have people, and he will clear up a lot of money. Why wouldn't you want to sell him, Gooch?
The same reason could possibly that Milan is keeping Ibrahimovic. You know, he has an influence outside of
jersey sales.
Outside of jersey. I mean, his person, his legacy, his play. I'm sure it's almost like the Last Dance, you know, the whole documentary with Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. He demands so much out of his teammates, and that's what Ronaldo was demanding out of the Manchester United that he never got last season. You know, he demanded quality. He demanded consistency. He didn't get that. And I think that any coach would want a player that's that passionate in regards to perfection on his squad. You know, if, like I said, it doesn't turn into a problem and he becomes a cancer because he's not getting what he wants. So it's all just going to have to be understood how he fits into, like B said, how he fits into the plans.
You know, this whole transfer market is so so edgy, right? Because you have so many players who are on the frisk and you don't know what to believe or not to believe. And then obviously today and age, the media is ridiculous. Like half the time they throw out names and throw out teams to put them together and they probably haven't had any conversations, right? Everybody said they had a source. Nobody's talking to anybody. But for you guys, how did you as players deal with the off season? And can you remember at any time in your career where it was very stressful, where you didn't have a club up to the last point signing you, or you felt that maybe coming into the preseason that things are going to change a lot?
I remember the time when I left Rangers and before I went to Hanover in the Bundesliga. I was free because obviously, you know, my contract was over in Scotland and I went through the whole summer transfer window and, you know, I didn't like, there's a lot of Scandinavian teams that that wanted me. There was a couple lower Dutch teams that wanted me as well, but I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't feeling that. I just got done playing in the World Cup and I needed somewhere I need a new start, but I felt comfortable with the plan, right? So, yeah. I mean, I didn't sign in Germany until I want to say like the first week of September. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So, I was in Miami for a while. Like you said, the word you used correctly was stressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did it the wrong way. I was partying. It got to me. You know what I'm saying? That there weren't the teams that I wanted to go to, you know, didn't pan out. And it was just like, man, what's going to happen? Where's my next move? But, you know, is this going to work out? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I knew it would, but, you know, it was stressful. So, I mean, I turned, you know, and at that point, I didn't really have someone to just go to and, you know, speak to and kind of get everything off my chest. You know, I just chose to, you know, kind of bury it all and go to Miami and spend, you know, three, four weeks, you know, partying basically, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't good, but I remember that situation. And I was not that was not one of my highlights of my career.
Definitely. And Gooch, what about yourself?
I think, when was it? Before I went to England, before the first, when I went to England, QPR, that period I went, I didn't have a club in the transfer window, and it was so stressful because, you know, everyone's saying, agents are saying you can sign here, you're getting, you know, rumors here, you're talking to clubs. I think in that period I lost over 10 pounds in stress, because I remember I went back to France and I was training with FC Metz, and I'd weigh myself every day. I lost 10 pounds, looked the same and everything, and I thought the scale was broken. I was talking to the team doctor. He's like, are you stressed? I was like, hell yeah, I'm stressed. I don't have a club, you know? And I didn't realize how stress can affect you in that way. Cause it's up until that point in my career, I've never had to deal with like the lack of security in the transfer window. I always had a club, even if there was rumors of signing here and there, I always had a club, I always had a contract. And the stress of all that it played its toll. Unfortunately, obviously, you know, it worked out, but in that month, 2 month period, I was in this limbo, and I can assure you that no player wants to be there, to not have an assurance of where they're going to end up and that doubt in their mind. So it is stressful, you know, and that whole mental wellness, mental health factor of it plays a toll, because, you know, you want to get it resolved as soon as possible, and it's just out of your control. You know, a lot of it is just like how other chips fall will dictate where and how your chips fall.
Do you ever come into a preseason knowing that they brought in a player to kind of replace you, but you didn't get sold?
I mean, that happened when I tore my PCL in Scotland. Scotland. So it happened in my first year. I was, you know, playing well. You know, I was playing Champions League games and, you know, playing almost every week right when I first got there. And obviously, tore my PCL. And then they needed to, you know, they needed a replacement. They needed another winger, midfielder, kind of player. And they ended up buying another player in the name of, well, sorry, he got loaned first to Scotland, to Rangers, by the name of Stephen Davis, the great Stephen Davis.
Baller.
Baller. We all know how great he is for Northern Ireland and, you know, top cap player that's ever, you know, played in Northern Ireland. Great guy, but a baller. You know, he played well. So it didn't affect me at the time, because I was too worried about, you know, my injury, trying to get, you know, back fit. But then as you watch him play and you keep going, you keep seeing him. And then after that 6 month loan that he came to Rangers, they signed him, you know what I'm saying? So now we both, you know what I'm saying? Now I was fit. So that next year we both fit. And then, you know, it was a battle. It was competition, you know what I'm saying? I remember that situation. So in the beginning, I didn't feel away because I understood it. But then as I, you know, I watched on the sidelines and watched this, you know, watched Stevie play. And I'm like, you know, damn, you know, I gotta step my game up when I get shit up. You know, yeah, because Stevie can play, man.
That's like the first time Gooch saw me play. He's like, I gotta step my shit up. But listen, talking about ballers, I want to introduce to you our guest. Coming all the way from, I have no idea, because she's traveled so much. But this young lady is the most talented sports broadcasters ever on television. The boss of all broadcasters, sports savant. Let's give it up for Miss Kate Abdo. Kate, it seems like
that's nice.
Kate, it seems like Gooch got nervous when you came on and froze up. So Gooch,
he did freeze.
Hang up and come back again, man.
Stuck.
What I miss?
Listen, Kate, thank you so much for joining us, man. We've been waiting so long to have you on, but you're a busy, 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 busy broadcaster. How you feeling?
I've been traveling a bit, yeah. It's nice to be home for a while and just to be able to chill out and enjoy the off season. I love the off season.
But to my understanding, you really don't have an off season because you do soccer, you do boxing. I mean, we saw you in the NFL Super Bowl.
I swear I saw you on, it was like, was it Ultimate Warrior Channel? What's that show called?
Beastmaster.
The Ninja Warrior. That's what it is. Wait, what was it called, Kate?
Ultimate Beastmaster.
Ultimate Beastmaster.
Yo, straight up, I was changing the channel because I was at my parents' house. And we're changing my mom, she loves that Ultimate Warrior Beast, you know, that show. Mm. And, you know, we know they do obstacles and all that stuff, right? So I'm turning, and I swear I heard, you know, your voice is very significant. So I was like, wait, is that Kate? I was like, nah, that can't be. So I was like, wow, she does Ultimate Beast Championship or whatever it's called. I was like, you literally do everything.
It was fun to do. I mean, boxing doesn't take up that much of your time because it's intermittent, right? So it just depends when there's a fight. I don't have a fight until September. And then I have a couple. I got the Canelo Triple G one, which will be dope because it's a big one.
That's a big one.
When was your last boxing fight?
Fury?
That's a good question. Not for a while.
Fury,
it
right?
Would have been on DAZN. Which one?
The Wilder last year?
No, I think since then I did AJ Usyk, the first one that was in London. Because that Fury Wilder one, that was that October last year?
Yeah, it was a while ago. But
yeah.
A lot of drama with that one, Kate. I'll see you in the headlines.
Did you guys watch that fight? That was
a lot
of
drama. Now, you weren't scared at the... You know, being in between those two giant human beings who are going after each other or talking that ish. And
no, is it weird that I kind of enjoy that?
This is for the families. This is for the families.
I don't mean it in that kind of a way. There's just something about that like raw aggression that I really enjoy.
Hold on.
You really sounding like you mean it in that kind of way.
Bees, no. I'm getting a little different vibe from Gooch. Gooch is usually trying to get everybody to spill the beans,
to
end their career. And he's telling Kate, this is for the family. And he's being real nervous. His internet's all choppy. Gooch, what the hell is going on?
You see what they do? They try to show up when people
don't say
on.
They. Don't say they. I'm looking at
Bees, you with me. Bees, come out. Come from behind the car. They got us, Bees.
Such a hater.
So Kate, listen, man, you've worked in the UK, Spain, France, Germany, now the US. We have to do it for the people who don't know, but just give us a little bit about your journey. Where you're originally from, and also, did you play soccer growing up, football growing up?
No, a lot of people assume that I did, but I never played soccer. And I don't really ever feel like that was an opportunity for me at that time. I think America, the game has been open to women a lot longer than it has in Europe. And so when I was growing up, girls did not play soccer at school. True. That wasn't an option. It is now.
Yes.
And my dad, who was both my parents were physical education teachers.
Wow.
And my dad's a massive football fan. My mom's also a massive football fan. But they never considered playing soccer with me. They did everything else with me. I always did.
Did you want to play soccer?
No.
No, I just never really considered it. I don't know why. That wasn't something within me. So no, I never pushed for it either. And I always just accepted that when my dad and my brother went to Old Trafford, that was their thing. That was the boys' thing. Yeah. And I just wasn't really part of that. It wasn't open to me. I think probably now if my dad had me now at kind of in this climate, he would do things differently, especially having seen kind of like the career I've had with football. But at the time, it just wasn't his mindset, you know?
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel any kind of way. I think I was always excited. So the first time I worked for Fox was in 2015 for the Women's World Cup. And it was really my first exposure to women's soccer at that level. And I think it was just super exciting to me to see how an American network would go big on the women's game like that. Because again, that really has come around so recently in Europe that they even pay attention to it and put it on the big networks and really make a big deal of the Euros or the World Cup. And so I was just kind of excited to see, oh, in America, there's kind of a different mentality, I think, around maybe women in sport in general, but particularly around soccer and the women's game.
Definitely.
And it was just kind of exciting to see how different it could be and how different the approach could be. And it felt very cool to be part of that.
I got a quick question coming back, because I forgot that you did the Women's World Cup in 2015. What do you think, because you've done now both men's football and women's football, what's the biggest difference when you're, I guess, speaking on it? Or is there a difference when you're watching and speaking on it?
That's interesting. You know, again, I think my mentality has changed on that since I've been in America, because I think that I always assumed from being in the UK that women's soccer was for a female audience. Mm-hmm. And that there wouldn't be any kind of crossover interest from the men's side. And having worked at Fox and done those big events and done the shows around them, I think I felt like I wasn't just communicating to a female audience that were into soccer because either they'd played it or because they loved seeing women represented in sports. I think I felt like, okay, this is just of interest for the nation. It's of interest for people. And that is really different somehow. Maybe that's changed now in the UK, and I probably can't speak fairly to that, but I've forgotten what the original question was, Gooch.
My original question was, when you're speaking on a football game, the difference between the men and the women, if there is.
Yeah, I don't know that there is. I think that, you know, one of the things that is cool to me is seeing the games treated equally. I know that there are physical differences in the game, and there's differences when you watch the game being played. But I think that that's one of the things that we've made progress since football treated equally. It's exciting to me to see male broadcasters speaking on the women's game. I think there's a place for that, the same as I think that there's a place for women broadcasting in the men's game and having an opinion on that, because they've played the game, and it doesn't matter that you've played the women's game, you've still played the game of football, in my opinion. And so, no, I don't really think that there is a perceivable difference. Do you?
I've never spoken on a women's game. Like you said, there's a physical difference. There's obviously a change of pace. There's a difference mm-hmm. in pace, but I think, you know, especially in the when was the World Cup, the Women's World Cup in France, the last one they had, yeah, it was 2019. I was waking up, I was watching those games, and this was like the first time I was like watching women's football World Cup and like excited, and just the US games, it was other countries playing. I was like okay, it's you know, because 10 years ago I probably wouldn't have found myself even been interested in doing that. Whereas now I'm like, okay, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, I think definitely the women's game has changed immensely, right? And we, not saying our age, but we all come from the same generation, and it was totally different back when we were growing up. As you see now, the women's Barcelona team, I think they had like what, over 62,000 in the stadium.
Right.
The Euros 2022, the stadiums have been full. The coverage has been good. But I do think there's a difference. As a person who coaches women's and the men's side, there is a difference a little bit, right? And do you believe that women's sports can be popular, especially here in the States? Because I look at the NBA and WNBA, and how basketball is so huge, but the WNBA struggles to really make an impact in the world of sports. And I find that individual women's sports do better, like tennis and golf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I'm going to be totally honest. It's hard for me to watch women's soccer. Not that I don't appreciate it, that it's different. It's slower. It's a different type of strategy. And just like basketball, it's not exciting for me to watch. Do you feel that women's soccer, particularly in WSL, can be successful and be a major player in the States?
It's a tough question, right? Because I think that it's always the chicken and the egg. And which comes first? And I think that media has a responsibility to create that platform. And probably one of the reasons that Gooch finds himself suddenly, you know, watching a Women's World Cup, whereas, you know, a few years earlier he may not have done that, is probably because of the push that it gets from mainstream media, and it kind of hypes up that general interest, and that affects all of us, I think. I also understand, coming from a TV, you know, kind of background and perspective, that it has to make sense, and you can only kind of give the budget and the room to a sport that really is going to draw in the audience for you. And so I think that it's a tricky one for media to get the balance right, but I think that the more that you give the platform to women's sport and the more you make that push, the more it will generate for you. But it's always hard because initially you're investing in something that doesn't necessarily give you back what you've put into it. I don't know. I think that definitely you're right about individual sports. I think kind of so much of sports fandom is around stars, and that's kind of maybe easier within the, you know, the individual sports like a tennis or a golf. But, you know, even boxing, which is an individual sport, I think that the women are still kind of the platforms that are given a much lesser. And it's weird to see somebody like Jake Paul coming in and deciding to really push the women's sport and make sure that he's co-headlining always with a female fighter and shine that light on them. And I think it takes for action like that, for somebody to come in and shine a light on something, even if it won't necessarily be financially profitable for you at that time. I don't know if it will ever be equal, because I'm guilty of it too, right? I'm a woman who probably tends to watch more male sports. That's just what I gravitate towards. But at the same time, I went to an Angel City game not that long ago with Leslie Osborne, who's a friend of mine, and she was in town.
Leslie.
I love Leslie. So we went to an Angel City game, and it was cool to me to see just kind of how intense the fan base was, and how a women's soccer team can launch just however many weeks or months ago and be able to draw that kind of audience and communicate and kind of relate to the community it's in. And so I think there's massive potential there. I think girls are more and more prone to getting into sports, to watching sports. It's culturally, we've shifted from where we were 20 years ago, when I never thought that soccer was something I was really, that was open to me. And now, you know, we're in such a different place. So yeah, I think it can get there. I don't think it will ever be equal, probably. Go on.
No, I was going to ask, in terms of that equality statement, do you think it's better to have a push to be equal or to be equitable, whereas the women are given the opportunity to get there, whether they do or not? You know, the focus is not saying, oh, they have to have the same amount of interest as the men, because like you said, that's going to take time. It's going to take investment, but given the opportunity to get there, more so in an equitable way.
Gooch always throws me with his big, like, philosophical.
He took one master's class. All of a sudden, yeah. He tried.
Spell out what you mean by the difference there. How does that really work in real terms?
Yeah. So when someone says equal, I always ask them, what does that mean, right? Because, like, me and Bees, are we equal? No, I'm twice his size, whatever. But we were given or allotted equal opportunity.
She laughed at that, by the way. I saw you. You did chuckle. She chuckled.
I would say in the bigger scheme of things, we were allotted the equal opportunity to be successful in certain aspects. So okay. I'm saying, when I say equitable, saying give them the platform to be able to get to some kind of heights, whether that height is equal or getting there or not, you know, is not really the focus, but the focus should be on them progressing to a point that, you know, they're content with, I guess.
Bees?
I think that's fair. I think it all depends on how you measure, like, where you're getting to, right? What's success? So if it's tennis or I don't know, boxing, and you're looking at wages and wage structure, is it enough to just say, well, you have the same platform to succeed, you can get the same sponsorship deals, etc., but you're not being paid the same if you win? I think that there has to be, I don't know if just saying, oh, here, you all have the same platform to succeed, that can apply in so many different areas of life where it doesn't really work out that way, whether it's because you're of your gender, of your race, of your sexuality, like whatever it is.
When I say platform, I mean level of support as well. Like when I say it just doesn't mean like go there, be like, okay, marketing is pushing you there. You know, all the support structure around you is equal or equitable. Like that's the equal part. And then after that, you know, give them the chance, the opportunity for success. Like give them a fair chance for success.
I think that's great. But then who takes the loss financially? Who pays for that support and all that structure to be in place?
The same people that did, like, for example, when the MLS was starting, like they lost money for years, years. And so, like you said, somebody has to be invested. Somebody has to take that hit. Somebody has to understand that they're going to take that hit. And it's happened in other sports. I'm just saying, like, it's definitely starting to happen with the women. There's every year there's a new franchise, and you know, and Bees knows, as any franchise, you don't go in it thinking you're going to go in the green, you know, at the end of the year. You take your losses hoping to build afterwards and to build value, and your valuation grows. And so I think that now more so in the women's game, investors, whether they're female or male, they're saying, you know, we want to invest in the game. We want to grow this game, especially in America, because like you said, it was open here way before anywhere else. And so they see the prospect of it being even greater than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Gooch. Let's talk about the media landscape. Right? You've been grinding for over a decade through many countries, many major networks, different sports. Uh-huh. You know, I really, really tip my hat to you because you didn't have anything easy, right? And you study the game, you study the culture. But now, you know, ESPN has made a huge, huge, huge effort to make sure that they have women broadcasters and commentators on male sports. You know, do you feel like, damn, if I was coming to the game now, I would have shot right to the top a little bit quicker? You feel like all the work you've put in, all the trailblazing you have done, do you feel that you have support of women and they know that you cleared the path for them?
No, I've never really looked at myself like that. I don't really think I ever really thought. Do you know, weirdly, I know I've worked hard, but I also think I've always been blessed, and I've always been given opportunities that, not that I didn't have to fight for. You always have to fight for something. You always have to prove that you're worthy, right? But I've never looked at things and felt like I didn't get that because I was a woman, or I didn't get that because of X, Y, Z. So no, I've never really felt like that. I do think that for women,
you never felt you didn't get a job opportunity, or you didn't get a budget, or you didn't get the right preparation at a job because you were not a male? You felt that you always were treated equally?
No, I didn't say I felt like I was always treated equally.
Okay.
But if I'm honest, I don't think I ever missed out on a job because of being a woman necessarily. No. And that's just my personal experience. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. I think it absolutely exists. I think that women have to prove themselves double what a man has to prove himself within sports, I think, within that arena. I definitely think that there are difficulties for women. And I think that nowadays there is an easier path. Somebody asked me recently, you know, who did you look at? Who was the trailblazer that you looked at? Who was the woman in sports that kind of inspired you? And I realized that there wasn't really one. And that's sad, right? That I didn't kind of see somebody that I wanted to emulate, because I think that's so important in life. I think it's really hard to be able to dream something that you can't see. Mm. I think that's why representation is so important. Mm. But I don't feel like personally it has ever been a real issue. Actually, I'm lying. There was one situation, but I don't feel like it was to do with being a woman per se, but there was one situation where I felt very discriminated against, and I felt
speak. Who was it? Go on. This is the crack.
Now he's coming out.
We got Gooch back.
So I was working at a network in Germany. I was young. This is the kind of the place I started off in television.
Sky Sports.
I never intended to start in TV. I just kind of fell into it. But I was doing the sports news, and there was another kind of branch of the TV network where they had more like feature type programming and magazine stuff. It was kind of like fun shows, culture, music, et cetera, and I thought that would be kind of cool. And the boss of that kind of side of the network had come to me and said, hey, I'd really like to bring you on. Are you interested? And I said, yes. And he said, okay, but I need you to go to your boss, the head of sports, and talk to him about that, because it's messy. You know, you need to basically request permission. I'm not going to try and poach you. So I said, no problem. So I made an appointment with my boss at the time, a German guy. And he said to me, I was sitting in his office and he was in front of his desk and I'm on this side of it. And he said, can I speak openly? When I'd said that I was really interested in doing the show. And I said, yeah, of course. He said, okay, could you stand up? And so I stood up. He kind of walked around me and he said, in German, he said, you know that this show is, it's not like you're doing currently where you sit behind a desk as a news anchor. This would be kind of full body shots in the studio, lots of different angles. I said, yeah, I'm aware. And he said, es würde Leute geben, die würden sich fragen, was tut so ein fetten Arsch im Fernsehen? Which means
translate.
As he circled around me, he said, there would be people who would ask themselves, what is such a fat ass doing on television?
Wow. And
that was the end of my opportunity there, because he basically quashed it. And I, you know, at the time, you always look back now and you think, man, like, as the woman I am now, I would handle that moment so very differently. Yeah, yeah. But at the time, I just felt kind of in shock that somebody could speak to me in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even just that, like as a female, just on a human level, it felt very insulting to me. I was probably thicker then than I am now, but I didn't know how to handle the moment. And I think that probably that's a moment, you know, men aren't used to being sexualized in a way that women are. It just doesn't happen in the same way in general terms. And so I think that I just didn't know how to respond at the time. So maybe I missed out on that one opportunity, but God has blessed me in many other different ways.
Did you just let it go? Did you just let that go? And
there was no HR back then that you got to report that.
No, I didn't even think about that. There probably was HR there. I never even thought about it. I had a very kind of laissez-faire attitude at the time. I mean, I was like 20 something. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was trying anything that came my way. And very quickly after that, I actually got offered an opportunity at CNN and I was like, okay, bye. And so I was out there. Yeah, I did. I dropped it. I remember telling a couple, it became like a funny story to me. And, you know, now if a young woman came to me and said, this has happened, somebody said this to me, my boss said this to me, what should I do? My advice would not be, oh, just like laugh it off, it's whatever. I would think that you should handle it differently. And I've often regretted not having the ability or the wherewithal at the time to stand up for myself differently. But those, you know, we expect people to do that. It's always difficult to do that when you're a young person, male or female, in a position where you want to progress in your career and this person has power over you. That's where those dynamics always go wrong, right?
Kate, as a producer, right? And help me, I need your help. This is a cry for help because I'm an old school. I'm trying to change with the times and I need your help. If that was true, that he felt that ratings, that he felt that the audience wouldn't support, I don't know what he said, Big Bottom, I'm Jamaican, Big Bottom Gallery. Right? Is it the way he said it? What if it was true? Is it how he said it? How he, like, what he should have done differently? So he just lied to you and said you just can't get the job? Or was he?
Well, that shouldn't have been a criteria in the first place.
I know, but Gooch is meat, is entertainment. It's just like if somebody is overweight or somebody's too short or somebody's too tall for a role, you don't just give a person a role if the role is not meant for that. That's what I'm trying to say. It's entertainment. We're talking about broadcasting. So
No, but it's different. You're not casting a look, right? You're casting an ability. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so is it on TV? So you don't think Gooch was casted for a look or for who he is or a style when he went on CBS? You don't think that people who get or broadcasters are that is put in the equation when they get hired, male or female?
No, let's be real. It's a visual medium. So exactly. If you're handsome or interesting looking or whatever, of course, it makes a difference. And I think probably for women even more so than for men. But I do think that it should be about ability. And I think that's, again, going back to the kind of the media's responsibility. What are you normalizing for the population? Yeah. So for example, that same network actually, now when I think back, I was married at the time and I was married to an Iranian Actually, no, I'm lying. This is a different German network. This is the second German network.
So he was married to somebody else that time.
No. Oh. but my last name by marriage was Abdulmajid, which was Iranian. And they disliked it. They said it was too foreign. And so they said, hey, can we just like keep it short and kind of punchy? Let's just chop off half of it. So that's where Abdo came from. It was the first four letters of my married name. And I didn't take huge offense to that because, again, you're kind of culturally aware of where you are.
Yeah.
And Germany, I think, didn't have a lot of representation on television, didn't have a lot of international culture, wasn't necessarily accepted the way it is now. But, they just felt like, oh, this is going to be tricky for people. Maybe this is going to be alienating for people. And that's where I think media has to do so much better. Things become normal to us that we see on television. So it is normal in society to have different and multicultural last names. And that should be accepted rather than rejected. And let's change your name so it feels more acceptable for the wider population in this country. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I agree. And that's why now I'm realizing why it shouldn't care visually what you look like, right? It should just be accepted because all people are different. All people have different shapes. And now I get it, Kate. Thank you for helping me, Kate. I appreciate it.
That man switched. Mookie switched his opinion real quick. Brother. Huh? have you seen a man switch their opinion that quick?
I'm trying to grow, Groot. I'm trying to be a person who can grow. You know, speak about growing, right? Let's talk about short Charlie Davies. Now I'm playing. On the set with the guys, Charlie, Gooch, and my boy Clint, you had a bunch of characters. How was that for you?
That was, and we had a whole bunch of talk about this because they would always ask me, who's your favorite crew?
Yes.
And I think like between us, everybody knew that it was the American crew. But I always felt.
Why was it? Why was it the American crew?
I think they made me feel like part of the team in a totally different way. I think there's a real and genuine friendship and bond between that group of guys, and actually in a way that I had never experienced on set before. And it's not that I've been on set and people don't get on. Everybody gets on. There's always a good vibe, but just the level of friendship I think is different, and it was a lot of fun. I'd never met Clint, I don't think. And I really love him. I think how real he is special. Mo, I knew really well already, and I have a really good friendship with Charlie. I had met a couple of times doing bits and pieces here and there. Same with Gooch, and Gooch and I had a friendship. But to be able to work with that group and see what it's like to really work with teammates, essentially, I guess that's what creates that is teammates.
The brotherhood.
People who can be real with one another, can be rude to one another, can disagree with one another, but still have love for each other. And that's beautiful to be part of.
And I can't leave out Mo. I apologize.
My fault.
I was but let's get into it. I mean, you being such a high professional, who do you think did the best as a broadcaster?
Oh, what kind of question is that? You know what? I think you need to make a good show is always different characters. And I think that's what was done so well with that CBS show, from my perspective, was putting together a group of different characters.
Tell us
what.
Hold on.
What
place? Gooch, one more time. You broke up.
I said, where were the? You said different characters. So, what were the characters of each of us that we meshed so well together?
Oh Lord. Oh gosh. I mean, Charlie is the one who's willing to kind of play the clown, right? Charlie will dance. He will sing. He will do whatever it is. He's kind of an extrovert, I think I would describe Charlie as. Clint, I think, was wary of television initially. It was new to him, right? And I think he kind of is somebody who works off of trust. Mm. So he needs to know that he feels comfortable with you and you're not going to put him in a bad position and that he's going to be allowed to be authentic. I think that matters hugely to him. I don't know how to describe that as a character. Gooch is the intellectual on set. I made fun of Gooch one time because he brings a calculator to set. He's the only person in
the
my
pad,
life.
With the pad with the calculator?
Yeah. Like
his mother bought him for first day of school?
I know you never use that calculator.
Never.
Y'all need...
Why would you even? Wow.
His mother gave him that for junior high school.
Yeah, you never know when you need to do some quick computing.
That's why we love Gooch, man. He is a one of one.
And what about Mo?
Mo, how would I describe? Huh? Hollywood? Did you say?
Yes, Mo. I call him Hollywood.
No, he wants.
You consider Mo to be high maintenance?
Not high maintenance. Mo wants to be in the picture. Mo, yeah. before Mo was playing, all he wanted to do is be an actor. He wanted to be in the pitch. He wanted to be in the movies. I call him Hollywood.
Yo, I was his roommate at Rangers, right? You know what I'm saying? When we went on the road, when we had to, you know, stay in concentration, all that nonsense. So this man, and this is no bullshit. This is no exaggeration. I am telling you, this man would stand in front of the mirror and practice the Mo show. I swear to you, I am not bullshit. We get done eating dinner, right? And it'd be like maybe 9, 10 o'clock at night. This dude would turn on the light, stand in front of the mirror, and like talk to himself like he was on a movie. Like he was on a movie set. I swear.
Hey, Mo wanted this so bad.
He would rap, he would sing. He would do like movie scripts. Yep. I mean, this dude was serious. This is what he wants to be in Hollywood. That's why
we call him Hollywood. And that's why I'm so proud of him, because let me tell you something. Turner Sports was terrible. Right, as a
like, thanks
coverage, right? It's terrible, right?
Gooch was on that show too, weren't you?
Yeah, Gooch was horrible. Mo was horrible.
I think we were, yeah.
Steve Nash, my brother, he was horrible, right? But to say all that, seeing how far Mo has come as a commentator and a broadcaster, I'm so proud of this dude. I think he does a really good job. I think he really came a long way. And he really wants it. And I think now we're looking at him to be the next, like, I hate to say it, not Alexi Lalas, but the mainstay for America, for U.S. soccer, moving forward for the next 10 years. I hope and pray that that continues and he continues to grow. And then Gooch, I think Gooch starting to crack, he got a chance to practice a lot. And I think once he came on board with you and had a great team leader as yourself, I think he flourished on camera as well, too. And I think he's meant for it. He just got toned down on the big words.
Do you know what I think is so important? It's just that a platform or that a network gives you the ability to be yourself, right? And that's something that we all probably found in common at CBS, was that was a space that we were allowed to be our natural selves. And I think oftentimes TV is a performance, and you feel obliged, whilst everybody wants entertainment, everybody wants to see your character, but at the same time, a lot of times producers never really create space for that because it's scary for them, right? Because then you have to leave unplanned time that isn't filled with a feature or a pre-rehearsed conversation or something. So now as a producer, you're essentially just reacting to what happens live, which I don't know, but I'm pretty sure can feel a little out of control. Definitely. So I think there's a level of bravery in allowing people to do that. But I think it's where you've seen the best of Mo, the best of Gooch, the best of me. I feel like that. I feel like I'd never really been given that opportunity to have fun in that way, where that was allowed, and to have a laugh and to make fun of people and to talk to people in the same way I would in the green room, which is what everybody always says. Oh, we want it to be just like this in the green room. And then you go on set and actually it feels totally different, and it's buttoned up, and it's, hey, what are you going to say? And you go next. And then I want you to follow up because you know he's going to say that. So you argue with that. And that can all feel very contrived. And I think Gooch would attest that that was just something we didn't do. We weren't pre-rehearsing conversations. At times they went left off field, kind of like in a totally different direction. And that's where you have those good, genuine moments. Genuine is always best to me.
Genuine is always best, definitely. And that's the reason I got a crack.
Genuine question for you, since we're on CBS and everything. Now, everything's over.
Everything's
over?
Did you think
Micah was going to win? Did you think Micah was going to win?
I was too young to know that.
The arm wrestling.
Did I think Mike was going to? Micah is like, Mo and I were talking about this just the other day because it still burns Mo deep inside. He lost his way. Micah is really thick and he's short. And people got into my head and said, oh, there's a whole thing with arm wrestling. You have, if you're shorter, it's a real advantage. Gooch is too long. It's not going to work to his favor. And I didn't know. I didn't know what to think. And I knew that Micah had been working out hard. Now, I think you're probably somebody who is disciplined like 365 days a year. You're always working hard. But Micah went, like, Micah did a camp for that one.
We gotta get Micah on.
That's why he's avoiding the podcast. I've tried to hit him up. He's like,
Micah, oh, Kate, you know for a fact Micah was training for that one.
Yeah, he was. He was in the gym. He had a personal trainer. I mean, I can't say that he wasn't doing arm wrestling training.
Yeah.
He upped the schedule with his workouts for sure.
Yo, y'all gotta look at that clip and look at Kate's surprised face when I won. It was like she saw a ghost. Her eyes were wide. Her mouth was. I was like, damn, no faith at all. Like,
no. You know why I had a surprised look was because it went like this. It started to go. Like, he had you kind of, I don't know, like three quarters way down here. For you to then get it back. Well, normally once it gets to here, nobody gets it back. Like, you can hold for a second, but you can't get it back. You turned it all the way back around. So, yeah, I was shocked.
Fair enough.
Kate, before you go, I need a Gooch story. I'm here to make fun of Gooch bees. They make fun of me all the time. Give me a Gooch story. Let's make fun of Gooch time. This is make fun of Gooch hour.
I don't think I have a good one. Gooch is controlled. Gooch doesn't do anything foolish.
That's the whole point. He just looks it though sometimes. You know, like you try.
He's never let it slip in front of me.
Oh, that's good to know. That he represented. That's good to know. Let us know what's next for you, man. I mean, like you have such an exciting life, right? Like, what's besides the boxing match you have coming up? What new projects you
realize I have a really boring life. I'm a very boring person. What's next for me work-wise is Champions League going to start again in September. Oh, yes. I have a couple of fights then as well. Canelo Triple G, the trilogy fight, which I'm excited for. Another one that's going to be on Fox, which is Luis Ortiz against Andy Ruiz. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be here in LA. I don't really have a whole bunch. I'm doing these podcasts with Amazon at the moment, which are boxing, which has been fun. Because as you guys know, it's different experience doing the podcast thing. And it's kind of fun to have, I don't know, for me, this is fun to have control over something. So anything we put out on social, anything we edit, I kind of get to have a voice in what are we putting out? What was important to us from that conversation? And usually in my role, you never get that. Someone else makes that decision. So I get to talk about things that I genuinely care about, because oftentimes with pro athletes, you get such a limited amount of time that you don't get to ask stuff that's maybe more personal, but everybody has experiences that I think that people relate to, mm-hmm. whether it's, I don't know, grief, mental health. I'm trying to think of some of the conversations that I've had with fighters that I just thought, this is cool, because I think it's great when people who are of profile can share about real struggles that we all go through, especially in this time of social media where you look at everyone else's life and you think, man, they are sailing through life. They're having a great time. And that's so not real most of the time. So to be able to kind of have these conversations with people who are of influence, talking about whether it was parents who dealt with drug addictions or addiction in their own life or whatever it is. And for someone to somewhere be able to watch that and feel like that speaks to them and maybe it helps them or encourages them is very cool to me. So I'm excited about that. That was a promo and a half.
Yes, man. Listen, though, you have a brand now, right? Obviously, right?
And do I? What's my brand?
The Kate Show. Now, I don't know. You have a brand, right? Your brand is intelligence.
The best host in football, boxing, ninja warrior.
That's until you have Rebecca ninja. Lowe on the show. And
we don't know who that is. You got a good heel game. your outfits are dope. But what is your dream job? Like, what do you want to go to next? You want to be next Oprah Winfrey? I mean, ooh. Howard Stern? I mean, what's do you want to go past sports?
Huh, that's interesting. I love sports. I don't know that I want to go past it necessarily, but would I like to have kind of a wider sphere? Maybe. I think the kind of what I was just talking about with the Amazon show that I have is probably the direction I would like to go in other than live sports. I think there's something irreplaceable about live sports. There is nothing like being a Champions League final or a big soccer game between Liverpool and United, and that kind of energy in the room or in the arena. Same with boxing. Nothing beats that for me. That's a high. I don't drink. I don't smoke. That's my kind of buzz in life. So I don't want to replace that, and I don't want to move away from it. I've never been someone who says sports is my vehicle to get to, I don't know, Entertainment Tonight or whatever it is. I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in what I'm interested in, which is sports and people. And so I would love to do something where I get to give more of a platform for people to share their story. I think that's something I'm passionate about, and that's something I would love to do, whether that's kind of around sports. Because I feel like it makes sense to talk about the things that you understand in life, and sports and athletes feel like an arena I feel comfortable with and where I can relate to people. And so I don't want to leave that behind. I'm happy there. I'm not looking to go beyond.
You heard it first. Kate is not going into politics. Well, listen.
No, sir.
Kate, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a pleasure of ours. Thank you so much.
Fabdo.
Fabdo is her nickname.
Can we start that? I've been trying to make that catch on.
Fabdo.
With Gooch, Mo, and a couple of others. That's it.
Kate's new name is hashtag Fabdo.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Kate.
I appreciate you all. Good
appreciate
to see
it,
you.
Appreciate it, Kate. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye.
There you have it. Mm-mm. One and only, man. But I know, again, just want to say thank you for everybody for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Kate. But since he did such a good job last show, I would like to have DeMarcus Beasley take us out.
I knew you were going to say that shit. Yo, I got to go. So,
exactly.
I got to go. So, hey, y'all, appreciate y'all listening. I love y'all, but I got to get the hell out of here. So, love y'all. Peace. Like and subscribe. Peace.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.